The U.S. economy is still adding jobs, not like a ton, but it's not bad either. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. ADP released its estimate of private sector payroll jobs created last month. It's a preview for the official jobs numbers that'll come out from the Commerce Department on Friday. Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities for Aviva Investors and joins us to talk about it. Good morning.
Good morning.
Private payrolls increased by 129,000 jobs, according to ADP. That is below what economists expected. What does that mean?
129,000 is still positive. It's still relatively healthy. It's not as robust as we've seen in the past. Our prior read was 183,000 jobs added. So we're seeing some slowdown. It's not necessarily indicative of an overall downward trend yet. Remember that this data can move around month to month, and we want to look at the trend line between months first.
For a while there, people were really worried that the Chinese economy was slowing and was going to drag everyone else down with it. But we've gotten some pretty strong data from purchasing managers in manufacturing and services in China in the past week. That seems to be making markets pretty happy, right?
The market in the U.S. is really counting on global strength to help things going forward. That strength in China shows that that economy is being stimulated by the government. It is holding its own.
Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities with Aviva Investors. Thanks.
Thank you.
The small Southeast Asian nation of Brunei will fully implement a strict version of Sharia law. This is an Islamic legal system starting today. This is a process that started in 2014. Under the new laws, those convicted of adultery and homosexuality face death by stoning. The punishment for theft is amputation. The move has sparked calls for a boycott of Brunei's property investments around the world, including the Dorchester in London and Beverly Hills Hotel in Los Angeles. The BBC's Alicia Santarelli reports.
Brunei's leader is unlikely to cave to international pressure. Sultan Hassan al-Bolkiah has been in power for six decades, and he runs an absolute monarchy. He's also one of the world's richest men, with a personal fortune estimated at nearly $20 billion. Ultimately, his wealth is Brunei's wealth. And thanks to the country's rich resources of oil and gas, which are their main exports, a full consumer boycott of luxury hotels owned by Brunei is unlikely to make a sizable dent in the country's overall fortunes. But the negative publicity may have an impact. After oil prices fell to record lows in 2016, Brunei realized that it needs to diversify its economy. Brunei has since ramped up efforts to attract more foreign investors and tourists. It's marketing itself as an exotic destination filled with beautiful scuba diving sites, national parks, and mosques. But the fear of Sharia law and its harsh punishments are likely to keep visitors at bay. Brunei received a mere 278,000 arrivals last year. Nearby Singapore, in comparison, had nearly 19 million arrivals.
The BBC's Alicia Santarelli.
I'm Shepard from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I listen to Marketplace several times, actually every day, because it's got the economic news and developments that are important to me. I donate to Marketplace so that it can be available to everyone, and I hope you'll join me in this effort. Thanks.
To join Shepard as a Marketplace investor, donate online at marketplace.org.
Almost half of Denmark's libraries are now what they call open libraries, where there are staff present only some of the time, or in some cases, none of the time. And they're open long hours, sometimes 24 hours a day. You can get a book out at 7 in the morning or go and do your homework at 9:30 at night, 7 days a week. John Lorentzen reports from the town of Allerød near Copenhagen.
It's very cold and very dark in Allerød, getting on toward midnight, but the lights of the public library are burning brightly. Place a social security card under a blue light and you're in, with the run of the place. You can take out and return books and films, use the computers, read the papers, the lot, though the staff all went home hours ago. Students Laka Harder Lauridsen and Josephine Holm Weitemeyer are here to work.
Yes. We're writing an assignment. We have to hand it in tomorrow at 2 p.m.
Is it better working in the library rather than at home, for example?
I would say, because I get very easily distracted at home.
Library Director Annette Gott says 100,000 more people have been using the library since it went to 24 hours 2 years ago.
We're actually the one in Denmark that has the most checkout from paper books per person. Other libraries had had experience in a decrease in physical books lending, and we haven't.
Allerød staffers work 40 hours a week. The rest of the time, it's staffless, which library consultant and blogger Jan Holmquist says is what people like best.
The places that made them self-service all the time, well, that was not a success. The success is where there are both staffed hours and self-service hours. People still want to meet the staff. They want to be able to ask a librarian for help, searching for information and finding a good book to read.
Open libraries haven't saved money, though. It costs libraries about $21,000 each to install automatic doors, video surveillance cameras, and improve security by lowering shelves and getting rid of dark corners. In Allerød, Denmark, I'm John Norrenson for Marketplace.
The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, the people who give out the Oscars, got a letter from the Justice Department saying the Academy could be about to run afoul of antitrust law. The Academy is considering a rule that would require movies to be released more widely in theaters if they want to be eligible for Oscars. That rule is apparently designed to exclude movies made by Netflix and could represent collusion between competitors to keep a new rival down. This Oscar goes to the lawyers. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.